unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, On Wings of Eagles by Sylvia Berger, is presented in commemoration of the second anniversary of the State of Israel and is dedicated to the 1950 campaign of the United Jewish Appeal.
I still wish I could figure him out. Marty O'Brien. I sure wish I could. The time I'm talking about, the winter of 48 it was, Marty and me were staying at the Chow Hotel in Asmara. That's down near the Red Sea in Ethiopia, in case you've forgotten. And how we got to Asmara was funny, too, because we got there by way of a third-rate cafe in Cherbourg, France, where Marty and me were sitting around washing away a few sorrows.
And call him in, monsieur?
We'll have the check, waiter. The check.
Oui, monsieur.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Joe. This isn't even the shank of the evening. Waiter. Encore the same. Two. Oui, monsieur.
Yeah. We were celebrating, Marty and me. We'd started this little airline, you see, after the war. We'd haul a load of airplane parts to Amsterdam, deadhead over to Rome, take on a load of passengers for Brussels, deadhead over to Cherbourg to pick up a load for Preswick, Scotland, like that. And we thought we'd do all right, too. We thought we'd make a lot of money. Except that we went broke. So we're sitting around this little place in Cherbourg thinking, where do we find us another plane to fly? And this man walks in and he makes straight for our table.
Martin O'Brien?
That's my name.
David Aronson.
And he pulls up a chair. And he says five of the nicest words a man can say to another man.
You two want a job?
Pull up a chair, Mr. Aronson. As a matter of fact, that's just what we were talking about, Mr. O'Brien and me. You see, we've just had a little tough luck with an airline of ours.
What kind of job?
Pilot a plane?
Well, you've come to the right party, Mr. Aronson. There isn't a plane made we can't...
What's the cargo?
People.
Now, personally, I don't know why he even bothered to ask. The way I see it is, a job's a job and a fellow's got to make a buck. I hauled reindeer to Detroit, horses to Jamaica, guinea pigs to Tokyo. I hauled fresh eggs, fresh fish, fresh vegetables, and war brides. And as long as there was a paycheck waiting at the end of the line, it made no difference to me what I carried. But Marty sits there asking questions.
Who's running the show?
An American relief organization, the Joint Distribution Committee.
What's the route? From where to where?
From Aden.
To where?
To Israel.
Now, this was in December of 48. And in December of 48, they were betting thousands of troops and tons of ammunition that Mr. Aronson's people wouldn't get into Israel. But Mr. Aronson was betting that they would. And we bet on Mr. Aronson, so... A week later, we're paying a little call on a place called Aden, a British protectorate down at the southern tip of Arabia. There are two sides to the city of Aden, the port side and the inland side. Now, the port side's just great. I mean, it's just beautiful, but Mr. Aronson says, let's go see the rest of the city. So he takes us onto the crater of an old volcano, and we climb over this crater, and we go down into the crater, and the first thing we see is a burned-down schoolhouse.
This used to be a Jewish schoolhouse.
And we come to a nest of streets, narrow and dark. The streets are all fenced in, and what they're fenced in with is barbed wire, and they're dark. And what they're dark with is people, men, women, and children, and they're sleeping in the streets.
Who are these people?
They're Yemenite Jews.
What are they doing in Aden?
They're trying to get into Israel. They come and see the caves.
And he takes us out to the hills. And dug out of the hills are these caves, and the caves are thick with people, men, women, and children, and they're living in the caves.
Yemenites?
Yemenites.
Trying to get into Israel?
Trying to get into Israel.
And then he says, come on, there's something else I want you to see. So we drive out into the desert, about 8 miles out in the desert. And the first thing we see is a huddle of banana huts.
Here in Camp Hashid live 3,000 Yemenites.
Did you ever see a banana hut? Well, you take a piece of straw so big along and dry it out and weave a basket mat, and then take the basket mat and put it up on a couple of sticks, and there's your hut. And it's all you got between you and the desert. Well, around these banana huts, we see this wire fence. And by this fence in front of the gate, we see 5 men. And they're holding 5 sharpened sticks.
What's the idea of the sticks?
The Adenites rioted a few months back.
So?
So 50 Yemenite children became orphans.
So the government said let them protect themselves with weapons, but the only weapons the government let them protect themselves with was sticks. Well, maybe it was that got Marty. Maybe that, maybe something else, I don't know. It's like trying to put your finger on the exact minute you think you caught a cold. All I know is there's something happening to Marty right in front of my eyes. Right in front of my eyes.
How soon do we start flying them into Israel?
As soon as we can take a plane up.
Well, how soon do we take a plane up?
As soon as we can get some fuel.
What's wrong with buying fuel here in Aden?
They won't sell us any fuel here in Aden.
Well, how about Iran? They've sure got enough fuel in Iran.
They won't sell us any fuel in Iran.
Well, how about Israel itself? These people are trying to get into Israel, the biggest oil refinery in the Middle East, right there in Haifa. How about
that? You forget where the Haifa oil comes from. They've shut it off to us at the source.
Well, how about
You heard what Mr. Aronson said, Marty. For crying out loud, there is no fuel in Israel. So will you stop wasting a man's time with how about and how about, as there is no fuel in Israel? Well, we're standing there glaring at each other, Marty and me, when Mr. Aronson breaks in. He says, come on inside. He says, I want you to meet the camp director. So we go inside. We're walking to the camp director's banana hut when all of a sudden we see something. Far away against the sky, it looks like a black dot against the sky. The black dot gets bigger. The black dot becomes a fist, and the fist spreads out, and it's a cloud of dust. Then the cloud's coming toward us. Cloud's coming toward us, and the cloud breaks up, and the cloud's a huddle of people, and the people are coming toward us, and they're men and women and children. And a truck roars out into the desert, out to the people in the desert.
Hey, what's going on over there? What's happening over there?
But Mr. Aronson's gone with the truck, and there's a lot of excitement, and, well, there's nobody to answer us.
Hey, somebody! Will somebody tell us what's going on out there, for crying out loud?
Those are Yemenite Jews coming out of Yemen.
It's always rough to guess a lady's age, but I say she was 50 years old, maybe 55. She's got gray hair, and her eyes look as if she doesn't sleep enough, and she's smiling, and she's the director of the camp.
What do you mean, coming out of Yemen? They didn't walk here.
They walked here.
Yemen is 400 miles away.
They've probably been walking about 4 or 5 months.
Ah, 4 or 5 months. Look at them. They never last 4 or 5 months. Look at them. One of them's blind.
Then they've probably been walking 6 or 7 months.
What are you trying to say?
That the Jews of Yemen have apparently decided to go to Israel.
So now something else is eating Marty. He doesn't get it.
I don't get it.
Look, Marty, you mind? I'm sleepy. And, well, anyway, just what is it you don't get?
The whole thing, all of it.
Well, that's fine. They got us this room so we could sleep, so good night.
I found out about Yemen, though.
I don't get it. Good night.
Yemen is a country, see? It's up here in the Arabian Peninsula. And the king of Yemen is called the Emman. What he says goes. And conservatively speaking, I'd say the country's still living in the year 1100 somewhere. Maybe 1000. Conservatively speaking.
Oh, yeah, you can douse the light.
Well, the Jews have been living in Yemen for 2,000 years about. Did you know that, Joe? Well, they were advisors to kings in their time, Joe. Well, they taught the kings how to build their palaces. They showed them how to make their swords. They showed them how to make their spoons. Even taught them how to write their names.
Good night.
And then something changes up there. A new gang gets in, Joe, and all of a sudden the Jews don't belong. How do you like that, Joe? After 2,000 years, they don't belong. But the funny thing is, Joe, they won't let those people get out. They won't let anybody get in to help them. And they won't let them get out. They're cut off. So what do you think happens, Joe? After 2,000 years... Joe, do you know how long 2,000 years
Look,
is?
Look, Marty, I don't care how long that is. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep.
And after 2,000 years, they pick themselves up and they say, we're checking out. We're going home. A whole people going home. That's history happening, Joe. History is happening right in front of your eyes, and you want to sleep.
Oh, Marty,
I
will
you? I asked him. I said, how many more are there? How many more are coming? You know what he said, Joe? He said, they are like the grass. They are coming.
They're coming like the grass, Joe. Women and children and blind old men, after 2,000 years, they're coming home, Joe. They're going back to Israel. And what happens when they get here? They won't sell them the fuel.
They won't sell them the fuel. They won't sell Mr. Aronson the fuel.
I don't get it, Joe.
I guess I better douse the light. Good night, Joe.
Good night, Marty. So, he puts out the light, but he doesn't go to sleep. It isn't even morning yet. There's that chill in the air that comes when the night's gone and the day hasn't come yet, and I wake up all of a sudden, and Marty isn't in his bunk.
Hey, Marty.
I'm out here.
What are you doing out there?
Listen.
There's something going on, Joe.
What do you mean, something going on?
Something beautiful. It's going on all around us, Joe. I can feel it. I can feel it. It's going on all around us, and it's beautiful. And I can't get it. I can't get it. So the next morning, he's out there, and he's talking to a little kid. The Kit doesn't know a word of English, and Marty doesn't know a word of Hebrew, and they're holding a conversation.
Hi, Kit. How's everything going?
Shalom.
What did he say?
I think he said he's fine. How's everything in camp, Kit? Everything all right? I mean, they treating you all right here in camp?
Shmi Mazali. Ani Buntesh Shanim.
You think you're getting through all right, Marty?
Yeah, I think I am, Joe. Well, I'm glad, Kit. I'm glad everything's going all right. But, look, I tell you, Kit, I'd appreciate it if you could take it just a little slower, huh? Because there's something I'd like to find out from you, see. I think we can get together if we can just talk slowly enough.
Marty, for Pete's sake, he doesn't know what you're driving at.
Sure he does, Joe.
Look at him. Now, what I was saying, Kid, is there's something beautiful going on here. Can't put my finger on it. Now, what is it, Kid? What's going on that makes everything look so beautiful to me? What's going on in this sun-blistered camp that makes everything look so beautiful to me? Will you, Kid? Tell me.
Sir, look.
I wish I knew what you were saying, Kid. I sure wish I knew.
Come on, Marty.
Gee, I wish I knew what he just said, Joe. Because I think that kid knows the answer.
Well, we're hanging around waiting for the fuel it's going to take these people to Israel. When we get word that if we don't get our planes out of Aden, they'll be blown up. So we take them across the Red Sea to Asmara, and that's when we get that fancy room at the Chow Hotel that I was telling you about. Hot and cold running water and a bell to ring if you want a pack of cigarettes or a pitcher of ice water. Except that Marty doesn't stay at the hotel. He's prowling around Camp Hashid, where it's 120 in the shade and the sand feels like ground glass between your teeth when the wind begins to blow. What's he doing there? He's learning riddles.
Hey, want to hear a riddle, Joe?
No.
Sure you do, Joe. It's one of the riddles the Queen of Sheba asked King Solomon. And what's more, he knew the answer.
How do you know what the Queen of Sheba asked King Solomon?
A Yemenite kid told me Mr. Aronson translated it. Here it is, Joe. What land is it which saw the sun only once? You give up?
Yeah, I bite.
Okay, the bottom of the Red Sea. When the water opened to let the Jews pass out of Egypt. Get it? Then the water closed again. Hey, you want to hear another one, Joe? Listen to this one. Who is he
who...
Wait a minute.
How does a Yemenite kid know what the Queen of Sheba asked King Solomon? Wasn't that a long time ago?
Oh, not too long. It's about 3,000 years.
Well, how come the kid knows what she asked King Solomon 3,000 years ago?
From the records, Joe. What do you think these people are? Johnny, come late, please. Did you ever see their embroidery?
What embroidery?
The little Yemenite girls out of the camp.
Oh.
Joe, if they were to embroider a forest, you'd hear the birds sing. What do you think, for crying out loud? Did you hear their Hebrew?
What about their Hebrew?
Oh, nothing much, nothing. It just happens to be the purest Hebrew there is, that's all. Just happens to be the Hebrew they're supposed to have spoken back in the time of the Bible, that's all.
Yeah? Well, how would you know that?
Oh, here and there, here and there. I also happen to know what that song says. That song we heard the man singing the other night? I know what it says.
Oh, what does it say?
I'd love to tell you, son, but I haven't got time right now. There's a plane I got to fly to Israel tonight, you know, with about 140 Yemenites in it.
What are you talking about?
We got the fuel, Joe. We're on our way. The Yemenites are going home.
Well, don't kid me, Marty.
I'm not kidding, Joe. Aronson did it. They're selling them the fuel here in Asmara.
What kind of a joke is this?
It's no joke, Joe.
Look, it's 3,600 miles on the circuit from Asmara to Aden, with Arabs on both sides of the Red Sea. We sure aren't going to be able to land in Saudi Arabia with a load of Jewish refugees on board. So how do we make a 3,600-mile operation with one fueling point?
It's all worked out, Joe. Stop worrying now. It's all worked out.
Well, how is it all worked out?
It's all worked out. We take a DC-4, we fill it up with gas. And we fly two other ships, and we take the gas out of the DC-4, we load it onto the other ships, we send it back for more gas, and we meet the other ships at its next destination. It's all worked out.
Well... looks like the Yemenites are going home. So that night we revved up and ready to take off. There's a low moon hanging in the sky. The desert looks like a yellow sea. We're waiting for our first load into Israel. It's going to be a load of orphans, load of orphan kids. And we're sitting there waiting, and we hear this song. You said you know what it means, Marty.
Yeah, sure, I do. A kid taught me.
Okay, give.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful and faithful Jerusalem. You're the joy of our land. How I remember the glory that was yours. How I long to dwell in your courtyards. If I were a dove, I would fly to you. I would kiss your stones. I would kiss your soil.
And then the kids began filing into the plane. I knew what Marty meant. I knew what he meant. Something beautiful was going on around us.
Shalom.
Peace be with you, laddie.
Shalom.
And with you, laddie.
Shalom.
Peace be with you.
And we flew the kids to Israel. You know the rest. After a while, I left, and Marty left, but others came after us, and 45,000 Jews left Yemen and flew home to Israel the way the Bible told them it would happen a couple thousand years ago. You've seen how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. That's the way it happened. This is the end of my story. Shalom. Like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. That's your name and address with 10 cents to cover postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take pleasure in presenting Mr. Jack D. Weiler, one of the general chairmen of the 1950 campaign of the United Jewish Appeal of Greater New York.
Mr. Weiler.
The program we have just heard is the story of Operation Magic Carpet. And the story of Operation Magic Carpet, the miraculous rescue of more than 45,000 Yemeni Jews, is the story of the United Jewish Appeal. This rescue was carried out by the Joint Distribution Committee and the Jewish Agency, both of which are financed by the United Jewish Appeal, whose support made this and countless other miracles possible. 6 months ago, when I visited Israel, I had the opportunity to see what the United Jewish Appeal has done for all the homeless and persecuted Jews who have been resettled and rehabilitated there. But side by side with the accomplishments in this wonderful new democracy, I saw grave and serious problems, which are this year more urgent than never before. I saw the frightful conditions in the reception camps, where thousands of immigrants are jammed together in makeshift barracks and tents. I saw how they suffered from the rain, from the mud, from the lack of privacy, and the lack of the very minimum of human comfort. I saw what a tremendous job must still be done to bring these sick and shattered refugees back to health, strength, and usefulness. Today, the world is celebrating the second anniversary of Israel's independence. And in taking stock of what lies ahead, we realize how much we must still do to carry on the UJA's life-saving and life-giving work, not only in Israel, but everywhere in the world where Jews are in need, in Europe, in North Africa, and here in our own country, where the job of welcoming and helping newcomers is a vital American responsibility. The American people, through their support of the United Jewish Appeal, have played a decisive role in the achievements in Israel and the rehabilitation of world Jewry. Those achievements should give us the inspiration to meet the critical problems of the present. Problems that can be met only through our generous and wholehearted support of the 1950 campaign of the United Jewish Appeal.
Thank you, Mr. Weiler. Eternal Light Drama today, On Wings of Eagles, was written by Sylvia Berger. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Mr. Shlomo Gamliel was heard as vocalist. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Norman Rose was featured as Joe and John Larkin as Marty. The production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.